estate services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 525. I'm Adam, and throw him out, or something on those lines. And here is Kirsty Bissett.
Nobody's called John Smith.
Pardon?
Nobody's called John Smith. Nobody's actually called John Smith.
I think that's not quite right, but this. And guess what? Debbie Melrose.
I do apologise, ladies and gentlemen, and variations thereupon. We seem to have had a failure of the entertainment system.
Not on this show, we haven't.
Very appropriate, Adam.
And Kirby Bartlett's Sloan.
And Kirby Bartlett's Sloan.
That's not... Oh, very funny. Oh, for
that's
Christ.
That's very funny.
Give him a ding, for goodness sake, Adam.
Oh, God, one of his
give
better
ding,
ones.
For goodness sake, Adam.
One of his better ones. Give him that one.
I would like to add...
You would?
That, yes, I would, that... Biff's line, plus of course Sky, is no one's called John Smith. Mm-hmm. Come off it. So I forgot the come off it at the end.
Well, you're fired. It right, let's move on.
Well, fine. I'll come back in another 10 episodes then.
No, you're going to be here every week now that you have Sundays available.
That's if I can afford to.
I do. Why have you? Did this job thing? Work then or what?
No, well, I didn't get the other job that I was going for. Yeah. So I was quite heavy on third shift, but they ended third shift and now we got to choose between one and two, and unfortunately I was getting a little more money for working nights. So.
Ooh, I don't like working nights.
Mm. I like working nights. I'm up all night.
I actually kind of liked it.
Yeah, noticed. You sometimes answer like me when I know it's like 2 in the morning.
Yeah. All right. Okay, what was I going to do? I'm just going to get the video file ready for me to do my very brief synopsis.
We must not look at goblin men. We must not buy their fruits.
Shut
who knows
up.
What soil they fed their hungry, thirsty
yeah,
roots.
Right. Shut up. Right. And also, stuff coming through on the live feed. I will reiterate, because I did this earlier on when I wasn't really recording. I was pretending to be recording. Ian Kirk says, is it April the 1st? For the benefit of the listeners, I was doing a little prank on Kirby. Debbie just got sort of...
Yeah, I fell right in the middle of it.
And Terry Miles says, naughty Adam Pearson. That's not the first or last time that's ever been said. And still waiting for Ben. I don't know what he's up to. Maybe he's still finishing off the questions for the quiz that he may or may not have forgotten to make up the questions for. We'll see what happens later on in the show. Right then. This week, oh yeah, we're also quite in thrall to see what he comes up with in regards to on-the-spot quote. This week, what's someone else going to say as well? Oh, Debbie. Debbie.
Yes?
Remind me to do FantasyCon news. And actually, what I'm going to do, before we start the show, we've got to talk about the headline for the People, where it says that that Hugh Grant may be the next Doctor.
No,
I think it's highly unlikely, but good fun to talk about it anyway.
I thought it said he will be, not maybe.
Well, it hasn't come up anywhere else, has it? Just on the front of the Sunday People. What do you think, Deb? No. Oh, okay, fair enough. If that's all you think. That's fine. okay, what do you think, Kirby? Oh, sorry. Are you voicing an opinion?
No.
No, she's gone again. Right there. Kirby, what did you think of the potential of a big Hollywood film star
it's
playing?
It's not going to happen.
That's what I said. Thank you very much. You get a ding for that.
It would be interesting if it did, but it is... so baloney. It always gets blown up out of all proportions. I don't care who is overly care who is the next Doctor, he or she. I don't care so long as they're well written and we can invest in them.
I think personally, if he does appear in Doctor Who, he's more likely to be playing a different character altogether, not the Doctor.
The new master.
maybe.
I commented, Sunday People, the best news source in the galaxy.
I saw it.
No, but to think, all the current news going on in the world, and the Sunday People decide that the best thing to stick on the front page, in fact, quite refreshingly, nothing to do with Ukraine or COVID or anything like that, the potential of him being the next Doctor. I thought, in a way, that was quite refreshing, that a paper was prepared to put some sort of flippant news on the front page, rather than
what Daily Mirror does well.
Mirror had stuff about Putin on the front cover. Anyway,
it doesn't matter. One of those.
Master,
yes.
I need to remind you to check your recording levels.
No, good boy.
On that beforehand.
Yep, they're fine. Okay.
Well, I couldn't tell because he was playing a prank.
Let's make sure that Ben isn't sort of waiting to come on, turn his computer on, or whatever he tends to do when at this stage of the evening.
Let me turn off.
Are you okay for this evening? Thumbs up. That's all I got from him. He's probably got problems with his antiquated kit. Okay, let's get on with the show. So, Midnight, the story we're talking about now, begins with Donna with her feet up by a pool. And being waited on by a stereotypical butler while on the phone to the doctor, who's trying to persuade her to go on a sort of excursion to this diamond thingy place, whatever it's called. Donna's not interested. She's got her feet up. She's got a glass of wine next to her, and that's all the lady wants. So the doctor essentially goes on.
It looks like, it doesn't look like wine. It looks like some sort of...
It's a cocktail.
Alcohol smoothie thingy.
It's a cocktail.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, so the doctor goes on this trip after saying, oh, what could go wrong, all that sort of stuff. And
that's my quote.
What could go wrong?
Yes.
I think about that every week when doing this show, funny enough. Anyway, so...
Master.
Oh, God.
I have a problem with the telephones on this planet.
Do you? Why?
Yes, they shouldn't be these old-fashioned.
They shouldn't be landlines. Well, they just decided to go retro.
You're so invested in this, Adam. Really.
Anyway, so they all get on the little shuttle thingy, and all get to know each other. We meet all the characters, including Peladon.
King Peladon.
Sort of lost his hair a little bit, but and of course the woman out of oh dear. Some noise going off on outside. The woman out of that film, what was it called again, where they all get stripped. Oh, Full Monty.
There's a delivery van doing a really noisy round of cows by the sounds of it. We had him just now. Yeah, it could be disturbing you.
Problem with its exhaust. And then, of course, Merlin is there as well, who also plays the baddie in a film called Belfast, which is currently doing rather well in the awards circuit.
I liked him in The Crown as well. He interviewed Prince Philip's mum, the character.
I didn't know.
The Crown, and that was a really sensitively done scene. It was really good.
Well spotted. I've got Terry Miles, who says Hugh Grant has already been the Doctor in. We knew this in the comic relief. In fact, when I arrived at work this morning, and we were reading the paper that said about the new Doctor, and our ops man, I said about, I expected him to say, what the hell are you talking about? And he said, oh yes, and I was talking about, and he actually quoted Curse of the Fatal Death. So
wow.
He kept that quiet. Shut up.
That's Curse
Shut
of
up.
Fatal.
Yeah. Anyway, right then. So they all get introduced to the... They all get introduced to all the mod cons, the little Crusader vessel. It's Crusader 50, I think it's called.
Master?
Oh, Jesus Christ. What? I got it right.
It's called the Crusader 50.
Anyway, Ben Shoveler.
Hold on. Taking a space truck with strangers across a diamond planet called Midnight. What could possibly go wrong?
Wasn't that yours, Kirby?
Yay.
What could possibly go wrong?
Ben Shoveler could show up. Oh, wait.
Ooh. Well, it's a bit harsh, Kirsty. Woo, she's in in all sorts
of... Hold on a minute.
This could be interesting.
Where's Mary?
Kirsty's being
Mary
today.
Is busy with Famalam.
With what?
Wow. Nice to have Kirsty, though. Hello, Kirsty.
Hello.
That was very nice of you to say that after Kirsty had a little bit of a, banterish dig at you. I thought that was very, very nice of you, Ben.
You've just come on as live on Facebook, according to my Facebook. So, I think I might have a delay on that.
Right, where to get up to? Oh, yeah. So,
Crusader 50. It's because this was originally going to be the 50th story, but they shuffled the schedule.
Thank you for that. It's a four-hour cruise, and of course they get all these mod cons of free peanuts and
the weather started getting
smoothies.
Rough.
What?
3-hour tour? Four
after, yeah. Peanuts, movies, and
music. Sir.
He's American. What? In his defense, he's American. Any chance to throw Gilligan's Island into something, an American will do it.
Yes. Absolutely. So, anyway, none of the entertainment's very good, so the Doctor sonics it to silence so they can all have a chat and get to know each other.
What were they showing Gilligan's Island?
Yes, they were.
None of the entertainment was any good.
We even get a talk from Peladon himself who talks about...
One thing that I noticed that they decided not to spend any money on that animation, that particular Betty Boop that they showed with the professor with the hat, with the idea hat. That's from a Betty Boop, and it's royalty-free.
Thank you, Kirby. All right, anyway, so we're moving on. And then the Doctor... Oh, yeah, the craft stops, so the Doctor pokes his nose in and goes into the cockpit and... You know, has a chat with the driver and his little mate, and they open a window up and see this sort of glittery.
Right, you're just moving through this super fast.
Well, it's a fairly simple story, Kirby. I don't think I'd really need to be sort of dwelling on certain bits. Anyway,
there's a lot of conversation, to be honest.
Yeah. Eh?
Especially in the opening scene settings.
What?
There's a lot of conversation.
Yes, there is a lot of conversation, Kirsty.
Really,
I agree with you.
By just saying there's a lot of repeating.
Yeah, they're
on.
Having a chat. And I did say that more or less. It was, you know, they just.
Yeah,
got
if
to
you know,
I was taking your side, Adam. Yeah.
Thank you, Kirsty. That's made up for a lot of stuff. yeah, what a good.
I don't like to grovel.
So while they're looking out the window, one of the drivers sees a shadow that suggests something, and not long after that, some banging occurs. But who could it be? Because they're all within the cabin. Stop snickering.
Bloody sorry.
Being at school. Brandon Moore says, sorry, I'm late. I was just traveling on a big space truck with a bunch of strangers across a diamond planet called Midnight. It's funny.
What,
Ben exactly
what
we're covering.
I hope got... Ben Shoveler showed up in it. Oh,
I do hope you got a better deal out of it, Brandon, than these people
or
did.
Or maybe we're the same person.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe some banging occurs.
This is getting freaky.
Anyway, some banging occurs and they will start shouting at each other, and Leslie Dunlop gets sort of, well, her actual name is Sky, gets sort of cornered, and all the lights go out and there's a few flashes, and she sort of huddles into a little, almost like a fetal shape. And then after the Doctor realises that there's some electronics that have been disconnected, he creeps up on Sky and starts talking to her, and she starts talking back the same words, and whoever speaks, she says the same words, which is rather creepy, especially with the lighting and stuff. And this goes on for quite a long time. I'm not going to say, this is what I'm saying, Kirby, I can't go he spoke to him, she spoke to him. I don't know how you could possibly fill that out to make it last longer than the 10 minutes of the actual program it took. But while watching it, it was quite gripping, and it was quite nice to watch. It's
absolutely.
Certainly not... Well, thank you. Right then, so...
Do you suppose that if the Doctor hadn't opened the front, hadn't insisted that the driver open the front window, that none of this would have happened?
That is correct. But then we would have been denied a half-decent Doctor Who story. Anyway, so...
half-decent?
They all start getting very suspicious of each other, especially her, and then they were suspicious of the Doctor, and then... especially when... Sky starts speaking exactly the same words at exactly the same time as the Doctor and nobody else, and eventually starts speaking ahead of him and actually controlling him. And David Tennant's face, because again, that's about 10 minutes of the program, but that's basically what's happening. That whole thing is building up the tension and the fear and stuff like that, especially where they're in this sort of one of the best sort of base under siege situations when you're only a little box all together with about 10 people or whatever. Anyway, so eventually, after a long period of everybody saying let's throw, because they did originally want to throw Sky out of the box, I'll call it a box because it was, they decided
to get a sky box.
Oh, very good.
Damn.
Kirby,
right ahead of you.
That Sky manipulates him into throwing the Doctor out, and the expression on the Doctor's face was sort of like he'd had his eyes wide open for ages and the tears were streaming out of his eyeballs, and he was trying to cling on to things with his foot and stuff like that. But then the stewardess realises very cleverly that it's actually Sky controlling her thing, and she grabs Sky and goes out with her and saves everybody. And
she's great. Yeah. Unsung heroine.
Unsung heroine, yes. And they didn't even know her name. I beg your pardon?
Dee Dee.
I know, but they didn't know that. They said, what's her name? And nobody could remember it. So well
done
for you, Gabby.
That was an old nickname of mine. I was called that for a few years, and then people stopped doing it. And I was like,
I can think of some of your nicknames, Debbie.
What?
Never mind. Anyway, so the doctor comes off the thing. He's a bit traumatised and gives Donna a cuddle. And then we see a very exciting preview for the next story. Right then, so that... Brilliant, look at that. We're only 20 minutes in.
Wow, it's only 20 minutes.
Yeah, but like I said, Kirby, what could I have elaborated on? Yeah. That's what happened in it. It's what the story was. And it's absolute genius. It's gripping drama. This could be put on a stage and done as a theatre production quite easily.
It has been.
Magnificent television, magnificent drama, acting. It's almost as much of a masterpiece as last week.
It has been put on the stage. Just they changed the doctor to someone else.
Yeah, well, they would do, wouldn't they? Very, very good. Very round of applause, Mr. RTD, for absolute genius drama TV writing, etc., etc. What did you think about it then, Ben?
Yeah, great writing from RTD, as you said. Tense, dramatic.
Well, you'd go on camping.
And I did love the phone that Donna used at the beginning that really should have been plugged in, but somehow they managed to get around the wires. But hey, it's a science fiction fantasy TV program.
I'm assuming that you weren't on yet when I mentioned the phone.
Oh, you've gone all echoey.
No, I don't socialize with you lot.
Very wise.
Yep. And it's a couple of hours on a Sunday is all I allow myself. So, no, I didn't see that, Kirby. But, yeah, no, it was good. I liked it. And, yeah, it's all right.
You're going to be echoing back from your end, by the way.
Beg your pardon. Oh,
your end's echoing, darling.
My end?
I'll get that soon, too.
Let me turn myself down.
Are you sure? Are you sure it's not somebody trying to repeat what I'm saying?
What?
I said, are you sure it's nobody trying to repeat what I'm saying?
Nobody trying to repeat what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Debbie, what did you think?
Exactly. Debbie, what did you think?
Debbie, if you do us the honour of telling us what you thought of the episode.
Yes, yeah, I love this one. This is good. It's claustrophobia at its best, I think. You know, just they're in that small space and it just gets more and more claustrophobic. And the intensity between, you know, the Doctor and, I can never remember her name, the blonde
Sky?
Lady.
Sky.
Is just fantastic. I mean, you know trouble's going to be brewing anyway because the Doctor's on board. It's just so well done, and just the back and forth is amazing, and just the life lessons they're in as well, you know, about why did none of you knew her name, you couldn't be bothered with her, you know, you were so rude about her trying to talk and introduce herself at the beginning, nobody wants to know, and it's just, anybody who works in retail or with the public knows what that feels like, and so you could empathise straight away, and just the fact that the enemy is, you know, the villain, the monster is once again us, you know, it's represented through us. You know, it's obviously, it is an outside influence, but it is basically a person. And that's always by, you know, is always something in my psyche that I absolutely love when it's not an actual monster, it's a human monster. That's always a thing that I love when RTD especially does that. And I think the way that they use the set is just brilliant because it just makes you feel like, you know, when you're on a plane for a while and, you know, there's that moment where you must be halfway there and you're thinking, well, you know, anything could happen, but it doesn't. You just sat there watching something and eating stuff. But yeah, it's really good and the music's really good. And this one is one of my favourites from this era again. I mean, obviously I wasn't on last week reviewing one of the best two-parters ever in Doctor Who.
No, it's not.
And,
Mary would agree with me if she was here. I miss Mary.
But I love that anyway. But this is a great. It's not. It's like an, it's supposed to be a filler, but it isn't. It's so good and standalone. It's just so well written, and the acting's brilliant. So yeah, I love this one.
Kirsty, what did you think?
Why am I
rubbish? It's awful. Real, just, I mean, the most horrendous. No, kidding. It's really good. Yeah.
You threw us all in.
Oh, I know.
Oh, like, man. At the beginning when he pretended he couldn't hear us, honestly.
Classic.
What's that, Debbie?
Adam pretended he couldn't hear us, you funny, funny chap, you.
Oh, Debbie.
What's that, Debbie?
What are you on about? Darling, and you just dashed it. Anyway,
what's that?
No, it's a really good episode. It's a great narrative of a whole bunch of wonderful things. Really, when you think about it, rather cheap set, cheap kind of graphics, to be honest. Just a really kind of torn down an episode. It's just, it becomes about the conversation and the people and the situation, and it all works together. You probably couldn't bang out 50 of these. You know, these are just like the right things happened at the right time. They needed a cheaper episode, all studio bound, limited amount of extras. You get the perfect storm. It also reminds me of when I was training for a suicide hotline. They took us through an exercise when they were trying to decide whether we were, you know, good enough to work on the line. And it was one of those situations where they give you an unwinnable situation, like a Kobayashi Maru. It's like you got this many people and you're in a bunker and you can only sustain this many people, and you had to sit there and figure out who you'd get rid of. Mm. But the ridiculous thing is just what it does to the group, because everybody's got their own opinion and their own view, and it's without any outside influence, it can just turn into this complete mess like we see in here, because you got this one science guy, and you put two science guys in there, and then, you know, and then the assistant, she's following this set of rules for how she's supposed to deal with her boss, and then there's parents in there with a kid. And then there's a newly single woman who's just afraid. And all of this thrown all in together. And then there's a dad who's like, oh, I'm going to be the guy to save the day, you know? So yeah, it is great. I mean, it's just, it must look really small kind of on paper. It's like a bunch of people in a small capsule, you know, we'll just need the soundstage, you know. But then you get the performances and the way she overtakes him just ever so slightly is just brilliant.
It's brilliant. Yeah, it makes him completely like second-guess everything about himself. Yeah.
All performance. That bit there when they're both just face-to-face.
Yes.
And she's slightly edges over him, and it's just like watching that. I didn't even really kind of hear what David Tennant was saying at one point, because I was just watching what they were doing, and I'm like, that's brilliant. It's just like theater. You're just drawn into that. You're not watching a special effect or whatever. It's just two people talking, and they do this wonderful thing, and neither of them break or awkwardly blink or anything. It's just,
don't blink.
She just edges in front of him, and it was really kind of chilling.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought it was all right.
Kirby, don't feel that you're...
My catchphrases.
What about...
Seriously. I mean, if I'm not here, you might get away with it, because obviously I listen intently when I'm not here. That's just taking the mickey.
All right, then, everybody. Here comes... Oh, nearly. And see what it's like there, Kirby. Right, here we go. Kirby, what did you think?
Brilliant.
Oh, dear.
Absolutely brilliant. This particular series is my favorite, has been my favorite.
Has anybody ever mentioned this before?
Yes.
Thursdays, isn't it?
Right?
Huh?
Like Thursdays.
Yeah, it's like Thursdays.
But you barely mention them.
Absolutely brilliant. Now, Kirsty, the set isn't as cheap as you may think.
Well, I'm being pulled up on a technicality. Everybody, hold on.
the roof lifts off for one thing, and
well, yay for the roof.
And okay, you've made your point. Yes, you're right.
Did they have to rent a building in the heart of Wales? No. No. I mean, in the heart of Cardiff? No, they didn't.
No, they pulled that
in studio.
Yeah,
they had a cherry picker in there.
Very cheap special effects. They borrowed a cheap phone. They spent a few minutes in a posh hotel somewhere in Cardiff, and that was it. No, it's just absolutely brilliant. I love this one. Oddly enough, I was remembering back to when I first saw it, and I think it was just so intense and so...
More camping?
So much was going on with the dialogue. I think I was probably having trouble with the dialogue. I didn't like it the first time I saw it. In fact, I avoided watching it for a long time until I got the DVD. And now this particular one is one of my all-time favorite episodes.
I'd love to have known what Mary thought of it, to be fair. But
she did say... What did she say? Here, let me go over to... She
slick.
Said...
Oh, right.
Hang on.
All right. Hang on. She said, hang on.
She said...
She said...
I agree with Ben. He's normally right.
That's what she said.
That's the point.
I'm trying to sell this joke and it's not working.
She said, I will say, by way of reviewing this episode... that I have little to criticize. This is
hey,
one of my favorites.
Wow. That's all right then. Gets a ding then. Midnight.
Fortunately, right, okay. I usually have one of my black cats down here who's named
Midnight,
and he's not down here.
Okay, don't blame him. Right then. We move on to Kirby's sort of rather more successful than last week. Feedback section.
I'm just refreshing the page in case something else has come through.
See, it wasn't just me that didn't see it then.
See what?
The feedback from last week. Remember I said, are we recording this week? I didn't see any feedback from Kirby. It kind of just... I didn't even get a notification about it. It just went boop.
I'm not sure why. It was very definitely there.
No, I know, because you sent me the link.
Yeah.
Anyway, get on with it.
Comments. Okay, wrong order.
Good lord.
Okay, you two free. Okay.
Jesus
Brandon Moore says, podcast recording Sunday, 20th March at 7 p.m. British time to discuss Midnight. American listeners who want to watch the live feed. He quoted me. He midnighted me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So then he said the square root of pi is 1.772. I'm not going to read it all. Wow. Midnight by Russell the Davies. This is a great episode. Love all the characters, love the story, and love the setting. The claustrophobic tension provided by limiting the story to just a few people in one set is great. However, I cannot help but feel that the direction is a bit lacking and sometimes lacks the tension that I feel an episode like this should. Where the story really shines is in the acting and the writing. Leslie Sharp is brilliantly unnerving, and David Tennant does some good possessed acting. There isn't a lot to say here, as the story is very simplistic and well told. On first watch, I found the episode underwhelming, mostly because of the lack of Donna and due to expecting things to be building more towards the finale. We'll get enough of that next week, however. Donna would have been interesting to have featured more heavily in this one. After all, she never stops talking. Ultimately, the story is a brilliant experiment and one that could not be repeated again. But nevertheless, set the tone for the more subversive episodes to come. Mm-hmm. Heaven sent. 9 out of 10. Next time, Doctor Who and the Multiverse of Madness? Lillian says, great story, great cast. Merlin has talent. I'm on vacation. I won't be watching the live feed this week.
That's appalling.
Have fun on vacation.
Worst excuse ever.
That's what podcasts are for. You can listen anytime.
Yeah. Right.
We should do one. We should do one.
Yes, and I'm not going to read Ian Kirby.
No, you're not going to read that. It's very good, Kirby. Right then. Oh, well, what I'm going to first do before we play any more of this week's thing. Remember last week, Brandon Moore sent in some audio and he was getting very upset that it wasn't being played. Well, I found it in the spam folder. So here it is.
I'm a time traveller. I point and laugh.
Very quietly.
Silence in the Library and Forest of the Dead by Stephen Moffat. This is my favourite story of the David Tennant era, and my second favourite Doctor Who story of
all time. Is he channeling William Shatner?
Absolutely, yeah.
Brilliant. It's one of those
he's thinking, Doctor
Who
stories leave me alone.
That has hundreds and hundreds of different ideas. You've got a big outer space library with flesh-eating shadows.
Perfect.
Mixed in with a ordinary girl who's also a computer with an alternate reality going on. Spacesuits that keep your memories alive.
What's not to love?
And also the Doctor's wife from the future. That brilliant mix of hundreds of ideas just means that there's not a single wasted moment. Every single part of this story is engaging and exciting and interesting. I love how for almost the entire first 20 minutes it's just the 10th Doctor and Donna on their own wandering around this big, shadowy, empty library. They do a pretty good job of making us believe the size of the library, although if I had one tiny little quibble with the entire story, it would be that all of the books are these library printed editions that look exactly the same. It just makes it look a little bit bland. But other than that, it's not a single thing to dislike, really. So the library setting's really good, and the Rational Rada are really good. It's that old playground game of don't step in the shadows or they'll eat you, which we actually used to play quite a lot at my school when I was around the same age of this being broadcast, so it was perfect. The little girl who plays Cal is very good. Dr. Moon in particular, the moment where he says to her, the real world is a lie and your nightmares are real. I mean, what kid wouldn't want to have that said to them? I found that so exciting. And of course, as Stephen Moffat has recently said in Doctor Who magazine, Dr. Moon is the Doctor. Supposedly a future version of the Doctor who has uploaded his consciousness to the library's moon in order to join River Song, which is such a fantastically good twist. I don't know why. I suppose it would be a bit difficult to actually get that across at any point in the show, but that if anything makes the episode even better than it already was.
Yes.
And speaking of River Song, Alex Kingston is brilliant in this. Mm-hmm. It's another element of the story that makes it better on rewatching is knowing the history of River and the relationships that she will have with the Doctor.
Has had.
Somehow, Alex Kingston's performance is completely consistent and believable with what happens later on. But it also works completely well without having known that. You believe that these are that the Doctor is someone who has this great meaning to her. And she's probably at her best, I think in general, River Song is at her best in her earlier appearances, where she has so much mystery and spoilers and the TARDIS diary and that whole sequence at the end after she's died up until you get her memories in the future Sonic Screwdriver implanted into the machine is just absolutely spine-tingling and brilliant, and I adore it. I love the music of this episode. I love the way it's directed. So many of the characters are brilliantly acted. Miss Evangelista is great. I love all of the team that are there. I like Anita. I love that you have other Dave and proper Dave. That is such a brilliant bit of writing, because that's, you always get that in any workplace where there are two people who have the same name, and to refer to, and I just really want to know two Daves so that I can call one of them Other Dave and one of them Proper Dave. That's
my action. How do you not know two people called Dave?
My dad's a Dave.
A fantastic
story. One knows two people called Dave.
And I could probably talk about it for another 10 minutes, just lavishing praise on it, but I will probably bore you to death. As I say, it's my second favourite episode. My favourite story is yet to come. It's another Stephen Moffat two-parter. See if you can guess which one it is. But next week, it's another really, really great story. It's Midnight.
Well, thank you. It's very quiet. I don't quite understand why it was so quiet, but therefore, we got it, and we also got a mini-review about the stuff we're doing this week. So well done, Brandon Moore. Let's see if anything came through on the live feed. We have Terry Miles. Huff Grant has already been adopted. We've done that one. Brandon Moore, sorry. Oh, yeah, then we're on to Ian. So next weekend, there is an event called MegaCon Live at the NEC Birmingham. One of the guests is Nicola Bryant. Yes, we talked about her before.
I was waiting for a Ben comment.
No, that's me.
What is wrong?
I still haven't met Nicola. I would love to meet Nicola.
I've met her.
Shut up! I didn't need to know who had. Yeah. I just said I would like.
Me and Isabella had our picture taken with her.
At this point.
Well, as you don't need to know who has, I won't tell you if I have or not.
But I she's
shut up, you.
She in the picture I've got with her, she's typical Nicola with cleavage on show. Can we get on with the show? Right then.
Hang on, I'm living in that moment for a second.
I can send you the picture if you like, Kirsty. Where do we get up to? Oh yes, Debbie, you have some blurbs from some regular contributors to the show.
Also, can Debbie give us a little more about what she thought of last week?
What, Vashon Narada episode?
Yeah, yes. I'm not allowed to watch it without Isla being like four rooms away. She's utterly terrified of the Vashon Narada. That made such an impression on her. She was very, very tiny when she had that. But it is. Anything to do with libraries is always a win in my opinion. And it's when you first see them step out into this mega library. It's like you just sat there going, there's books everywhere. There's every book that's ever been written. I mean, heaven.
Nice to know. Like, my books are in there.
Put me there. You know, that'll be fine. That's my idea of a good afterlife if that was to happen. Absolutely love the idea of the memory being kept in the spacesuit comms. I think that's a brilliant way of saving. Literally saving people. And the bit when you see Donna's face on the plinth as it comes round is just terrific. That's a great ending, that one. Donna Noble has been saved. You know, it's just brilliant. Perfect. And I just think the effects in it are fantastic. Any good walking skeleton is always good in my book for a horror. And obviously, the bit with the chicken leg is brilliantly done, because that's when Ina was like, I can't watch this anymore, Mum. I really can't. I'm so mean. She won't watch the Doctor Dances, that double, because of Are You My Mummy? She won't watch that.
Surely she knows that you're her mummy.
Sorry?
Surely she knows that you're her mummy.
I know why Isla doesn't want to watch The Silence in the Library with you, because it's probably how excited you get at seeing the library.
Yeah, it's like, the bugs, oh my God. And she's like, you want people to die? Yeah.
It's like, Mum, do you want to be alone with the big library?
Yes, very much so.
And there she goes.
That's me. I'm off, gone.
Flight of Sinker, she's gone.
The whole bit with like River Song turning up is brilliant. The fact that it's the end of her life, it's her last meeting with the Doctor, and I love how that story does come through the next few Doctors. How wonderfully that story is told for her. I think they do River Song justice throughout her storyline. I think that is really well done. And
I
the
can feel big, Ben squirming yes. over in. Farmborough.
Yeah, just sitting here, just going, no, not another one.
Sorry, I really like this one. Music's great. I'm just wittering on about it. I don't want to bore everyone. So, yeah. I'm
bored.
I love this one. I love the storyline, the extra bit with Donna in her saved universe, and I think it's such a shame that he can't shout her name at the end. And just the whole, when the Doctor discovers a whole new level of himself with, you know, clicking the door open. And I think that, to me, that bit signals the beginning, the end for 10th Doctor, even though, you know, we've got a bit longer with him. I think that whole, when he's realising the power he's got, this is the beginning of the end for him. And it just... obviously hindsight.
I'm Lord Victorious.
Yes. It's really good. Absolutely, yeah, brilliant. And Alex Kingston's one of my favourite actresses, has been for years, so anything with her is always good. And the fact she's been Doctor Who is brilliant.
As a cow in the field. Right then, so I did send you some blurb.
Yes, you did, yes, but Kirby wanted some more feedback for last week. I do apologise for
Master? One thing about, can I say something else about Midnight?
Midnight, yeah, go on then.
At the Oasis.
Last night I watched with the commentary, and it was only a couple, they did the commentary a couple of weeks before it was actually broadcast, and David Tennant was one of the people on the commentary, and he had not seen the little insert with Rose before, and it surprised him, and he loved it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Dave, quick! Save.
Yeah, great. I mean, the Doctor and his plucky companion Donna take a relaxing holiday on the planet Midnight. Well, that's not going to happen. It would be a boring show, wouldn't it? The Doctor goes on an 8-hour coach trip to see the Sapphire Waterfall. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, Donna goes into the spa. The passengers on the bus were all good. There's the second Doctor's son, and isn't that Colin Morgan? He's the chap that played Merlin in the TV series Merlin.
Is he? Really?
Was he?
Are you sure?
Hold up.
I never knew that.
Shocking. Hold up. I thought the Doctor was Merlin. That's two Merlins in one scene. I'm amazed the world didn't explode. The poor driver, Joe, and engineer, Claude, didn't last long.
No.
Leslie Sharp was brilliant in this. Raki Ayola was very good as the hostess. Merlin's mum, Lindsay Coulson, was a right pain. His dad was pretty useless too. Was that Rose on the screen? No, couldn't have been. She left, didn't she? So we still don't know what was outside of the coach on a planet that couldn't support life as we know it. Next up, Donna has to decide which way to turn. Sorry, that doesn't sound right. Or left. Hi, Adam. We're on the island for the next podcast. Ooh. Might bump into you in the M&S area if lucky. We are easy to spot due to our uncommon dogs attracting attention.
Yeah, we're not allowed to bring dogs into the
Linda
store.
Linda and Terry Miles.
Well, they could actually let us know exactly when.
And I could come down too.
Oh, don't stalk them, Debbie. Come on.
I'm not going to stalk
them. Don't make it weird, Deb. Don't make it weird. Come on.
I could pop down the shop if they
come on.
Jesus. Yeah. Stalking.
Come on now, Deb.
Stalk them.
Right then. Anyway, we've got some stuff come through. We got this from a legend of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. What?
Oh, good evening, 20 Megabytes.
Why? Our feedback group jibbiters really quiet this week. For goodness sake.
I didn't realise it was my
thing
now. I just bought a cup of tea. Been bought a cup of tea.
Do you realise I'm going to have to turn? I'll play that again from the start because
yeah,
you talked over
hear
it.
Thing.
Naughty.
Sorry, what?
There we go.
Well, good evening, 20 Megabytes. I did my iron yesterday as usual. You know, new Cleese here, that. And I watched Midnight. And. Yeah, quite enjoyed it actually. It's very, very tight story, isn't it? You know, it's very what's the word? Claustrophobic, of course. You know, they're just stuck in that cabin. You don't know, you get to know very little about the people. You know, there's a family of three. There's the professor and these assistants, and there's the woman who's all by herself. You know, just random strangers thrown together, and it's just it's interesting how they you see how they you know they do the storming, forming. norming, you know, the bonding thing of them coming together initially because they start talking to each other. The father tells jokes, the professor tells about the planet, and then of course they come together because they finally find they've got an enemy in some form. This is taken over the woman, Sky, and then it's taken over the doctor. And I think it shows how people will behave in, you know, when they're thrown into something like that. You know, it does bring out the worst in people. You know, these people are desperate to protect themselves. The father was the one who was probably leading it. Well, actually, he's been led by his wife. The professor, he then joined him. The son, interesting, he was the one who didn't want to, and, you know, wanted, you know, to think that the doctor wasn't bad, wasn't evil. But I think in the end, you know, he felt he had to go into it. But it's interesting the way, you know, the hostess, you know, never knew her name. You know, she's just a faceless, you know, nameless, faceless person, just someone that people just see, you know, as you do, I suppose, with their stewardesses, who actually ended up saving the day. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's obviously, you know, a real bottle episode, this, isn't it? But I think it's one of these psychological ones. You're just showing how people react, how people behave, and you never actually find out what the enemy is. I mean, that's interesting that it's sort of, you know, it's an unknown enemy that they're facing. They don't know what it's about. They don't know what it's doing. They just don't know anything about it. And that's why, really, you know, made the story so good, so tight. And it's interesting as well, you know, why was Donna not in it? You know, was Catherine Tate just unavailable? I don't know.
He doesn't know.
But all in all, I mean, it was a good watch. I think, again, it showed the doctor perhaps taking himself for granted, you know, saying, you know, you know, I'm clever, you've got to listen to me. Why? Why should we listen to you? You know, why? What's he so special about you? How do you know that? And then when he says his name's John Smith as well, I think, again, that shows that, you know, he I think the doctor does take himself too seriously at times and, you know, believes that, you know, people will just listen to him, but of course they don't. But there you go. So, yeah, all in all, it was enjoyable. And, you know, it wasn't a classic, but what? It was, yeah, I think it was a good psychological thriller. You know, a bit like the Agatha Christie, Then They Were Known. It was sort of along the power lines of that. Anyway, until next time, be seeing you.
Well, thank you very much, Andy. I don't think Kirby would like to answer the...
Well, I'm wondering if next week he's going to ask why the Doctor's not in it a lot.
Maybe he will. We'll find out, won't we? Anyway, let's see what's coming through on what
we have had the Dr. Light companion light episode for three or just two series before this. When did they start doing that?
Series two.
Yeah.
Well then, can I continue? So comment coming through on the live feed. Brandon Moore, Meganorks Live. Question mark.
Megan Nork.
The name of the MegaCon.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I've got you. Mm-hmm. Okay, right. Let's see what else came through. We've got this. I feel I should be a bit more prepared because I got a bit distracted. So, right, here we are. This is a bit I want.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is Ian Kirk.
Well, hello, Ian, at the right volume.
Midnight by Russell T. Davies. Russell T. Davies wrote this story.
He did?
Where the gay woman gets killed by the married woman. The doctor decides it's time for some rest and relaxation. And this goes about as well as his cruise holiday in Voyage of the Damned. It is surprising that he thought he would do better on a tourist bus. This is a Donna Light episode, to be matched by a Dr. Light episode called Turn Left.
Hear that, Andy?
The Doctor is not very good at interacting with humans, and usually has a companion to smooth out any awkwardness. He is usually delighted to take control when disaster strikes. Here, his delight is used against him, as he becomes a scapegoat instead of a leader. Far from being in control, he becomes paralysed, losing control of his body, and he loses control of his voice. He's usually so self-possessed. There's another brief shot of Rose on a computer screen. Exercising cunning control is wife and mother, Val. She manipulates her husband into trying to throw Sky onto the deadly surface. She later hypocritically comforts Skye when the creature seems to have moved on to the Doctor. She demands that he be thrown to his death now. It is the anonymous hostess who saves them all by dragging Skye out of the hatch with her, and thus killing the creature.
I'm not dead! He says he's not dead!
Just as River Song saved the day last week. We never see the mysterious creature, and Davies wisely never explains it. It would be rather trite to say that the real monsters are the bus passengers. I just did, but I think I got away with it.
Midnight at the Oasis. My gag.
Bye for now.
Yes, well, bad luck, Deb. Timing-wise, I think Ian got there slightly ahead of you, because his email came in at 6:50. Right then. Ben Shoveler will now dictate Councillor Alan T. Butcher's feedback.
Well, yeah, I will. But, I mean, obviously, everyone knows what we're here for now. And that's the second episode of the quiz hat.
Yeah, but haven't we got to do this bit first?
Yeah, but I've just got to mention that hat is going to be along shortly, so if you're listening to the podcast, you can fast forward it for a little bit, and then that'll be the quiz. Because that's, to me, it's the only reason people listen now, Adam.
Well,
it's gone viral.
I agree. It was my idea, so of course that's the only reason.
Have you seen some of the comments written about heart?
No, I haven't seen any, but never mind, carry on.
Really? They've been all over the... It's gone viral, mate.
Viral?
Viral?
Viral, definitely viral. Rhymes with squirrel.
Right, well, you better hurry up and do Mr. T. Butcher's feedback so we can get on with what you just said.
Heart.
Yes.
Ah.
No, Debbie, not heart. Heart.
Heart.
Very good.
Heart, mate.
Scaring the bejesus out of us with a parlor game or Hostess Who and the Midnight Sky, dear 20 megabiters.
Yay!
Midnight is, of course, a closely studied fable explaining how public opinion may be twisted and swayed by uncertainty and the total absence of facts about what is happening. It illustrates the level of certainty that can develop with a group by subtle suggestions and reinforcements, culminating in assumptions being accepted as proof. It shows the Doctor, a man of science and knowledge, helpless in the face of this process, only released by a skeptic who acts on the sight of what the group are doing when she steps back just a little bit from them. It should be noted that whilst... Jesus, it was like they were in the room. Liam? this is a rather simplistic story with a very limited narrative. In fact, that is why it is so exceptionally good. An ultra simple concept needing no detailed explanation is ideal content for a Kirby.
Science fiction fantasy TV program.
A Kirby.
Wow, you're on it tonight, Kirby.
I wasn't expecting it.
What? Every week Kirby, he puts it in there for you.
Every time.
Okay, we're not having it every time. I'm now prepared.
We're not having a production program meeting now. We're not. But let's just say there will be words and possibly sackings after the recording. We also learn that the young American Civil War soldier who went on to rule Peladon then went on to an academic career and started up possibly questionable relationships with a research worker, maybe even up to 14 research workers, in fact, using a trip to the planet Midnight to ensnare their interest. Mm. All in all, Midnight is a scary, atmospheric and pure narrative, which is both one of Russell T. Davies' best scripts and an example of how well Doctor Who delivers excellent one-off stories and that a limited budget does not hamper it. If Russell T. Davies was to leave soon after this, then he should be definitely given another second chance to run the show. On the basis of this story. Effectively staged as a play on a single set, this has resonances of a TV drama
of well back into the last century and is none the worse for that. See, councillors always looking back in time. The cast is exceptional and Rusty Davis's facility for creating meaningful characters very quickly is firing on all cylinders. David Tennant is fully tested and, as always, passes with flying colours, as rich and varied as his sixth Doctor coat. The story is perhaps exactly the right length for once, as it is obvious, a perfectly self-contained narrative bookended to fit the series, but nothing is wasted or left wanting. Next up, Doctor Who and Sinister Swivel, or Everything's Coming Up Roses.
No.
That's, I'm sorry, that's a completely different podcast. I'm aware of things like that. I've heard of them, I've never seen them, but that's not the kind of podcast this is, I'm afraid. But those are the thoughts of Councillor Alan T. Butcher Rookie.
Yeah. All right, you're overdoing it.
Really?
What do you mean,
that's
really?
That's fair. You should deduct a point, Ben, for that unenthusiastic insert there from Mrs. Melrose.
Okay, well, this is going to be from the Adam Pearson School of Editing.
Actually, no, add it on, because it's that would add 5 points on, Ben. Add 5 points on.
Why add 5 points on? What for?
Because the least points win, so add points on.
Right, this is my bit, so you lot shut up. Hello and welcome to How Aged Are They?, the Doctor Who actors who's recently had a birthday's guessing quiz. Currently featuring on the Doctor Who 20 Megabyte podcast. Currently.
Could you not get the bloody name of the show right after 12 years?
The TV offers must be just around the corner. Have you seen the crap on ITV? This is much better. The rules are simple.
Yes.
There are 5 rounds. And in every round, I'll give you 1 actor from Doctor Who. They could be from classic, New Who, or maybe both, but they've all recently celebrated their birthday. The contestants have to try and guess the actor's age and score as few points as possible. If they guess the actor's age correctly and get an exact answer, no points are added to their score. Wow! I've got my own sound effects, thank you.
No.
But can I ask, how do you...
Hold
know
on, Debbie, can I... I've just...
She's explained. Let him explain. He's nearly there.
Just listen. If they are 1 year away, either under or over, 1 point is added to their score. If they're 2 away, 2 points are added, and so on. At the end of the 5 rounds, the points are added up, and the winner is the contestant with the lowest score. Is there any questions so far?
Yes, go on, Deb.
Debbie.
No, to be honest, I'm not going to get anything right anyway, so it's fine, I do.
To ensure fair play, the contestants will take it in turns to start each round, so no one guesses 1 year away from any other contestant for all 5 and tries to spoil the fun. This is the Kirby rule.
Yeah. Already, he's been sussed.
Yes.
So, Debbie, you can guess who won last week.
The weekly scores and winners bonus.
Oh, it was Mary, wasn't it, last week, actually?
Excuse me, I'm talking.
Sorry.
He started, so he'll finish.
Kirsty minus two.
Ooh, another one.
The weekly scores and winners bonuses.
They stuff too.
The weekly scores and winners bonuses are added up across the series, and the winner will be crowned at some point. But before we play How Aged Are They, we'd better meet this week's contestants. Cue the music, Adam.
Hey, I wasn't... You didn't give me a bloody heads up for this.
Just the theme tune again, it'll be fine, but dip the volume. It was a bit loud
last
time.
Hang on, I've lost it.
Hang on. Yeah, we know that.
Go on, then.
A bit lower. Adam, 59, is a shoe repairer from a place called Forces on the
59?
Island.
59? You bastard.
He likes quiet evenings in baby bells and his Dora the Explorer slippers. And apparently, when living alone before he was married, Adam very famously lost a hamster. Next is Kirby. Kirby, 31, is a pig farmer who lives the life of a king because he has a hand-picked bacon sandwich every day. Kirby is from the United States in America, where bacon is very different. They call it a sidewaffle. Debbie, 72, is a tap dancer and part-time cheesemaker from the island of Wight, the largest of the Channel Islands just off China. Her three favourite episodes of all time of Doctor Who are the one with lots of running, the one with the shooty pepper pot things, and the one where the Doctor does the thing that everyone thinks is great.
I feel seen.
You've been sussed, Debbie.
Yeah.
And finally, Kirsty. Kirsty is 91 and does also live across the big lake in that state that is America, but would like to point out in an entirely different house from Kirby.
Yes, I was rooting to let last line.
Yeah, she'd like to reiterate that particular bit.
Excuse me. Yes? Don't get blaming people being interrupted on Michael McIntyre's quiz shows.
Honky bastard.
Right, are we there yet?
No, not yet. Oh. Kirsty used to play lacrosse professionally, but gave it up when a bad blister meant that the stick couldn't be held comfortably anymore, before becoming the world's greatest karate teacher and steel toe cap boots maker. Good evening, contestants.
Hello.
Lovely to be here.
Hi.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I'm not too sure about Debbie.
Now, on the leaderboard, everyone so far has played one round, but the scores will be averaged out over the series to make sure that no one benefits or doesn't benefit from not being here. So
yeah, I'm going to say, so how many points do you get for missing one?
Sorry, carry on.
That certainly wasn't the noise coming from...
Actually, that was accidental, but it did actually drop in quite nicely, that particular...
Right, so then, contestants, let's go for the first round. The first name I'm going to give you this week is... Now, there's no, not to be any cheating, not looking at anyone specifically, Kirsty. The first person I'm going to give you this week is Laura Rogers. Now, Laura recently celebrated her birthday on the 10th of March. But who is Laura Rogers? Laura Rogers played Isabella in The Christmas Carol. Not the Lewis Dickens or whatever his name was thing. The actual Doctor Who. This is Doctor Who quiz. Yes, it's going to be the Doctor Who episode. So she was the mother, I think. So Laura Rogers, born on the 10th of March. But Adam, how aged are they?
41.
41. Debbie, how aged are they?
I think she's about the same age as me, so 44.
Kirby, bearing in mind the Kirby rule, how aged? Wasn't brought in just for you. How aged are they?
I can't even remember the character, so 50.
And Kirsty, how aged are they?
What were the rules again?
You heard them all. You heard the spiel at the beginning. Don't play sillies, or we're going to start giving you an extra 100 points.
Yeah. I just got lost in the Kirby rule.
There'll probably be more as time goes on.
I don't know. What am I hate guessing ages. It's my least favourite quiz.
There's a certain element of
education. You know why I'm
the same as someone else.
No, you're not allowed to guess the same as someone else, really. You've got to...
This is why he rotates whoever goes first.
Did anyone guess 46?
Oh, that's an acceptable...
46 is a fine number.
Yes.
We'll go with 46. That is round one complete. Well done, everybody.
Hooray.
Kirsty, now you know why I did what I did last week with just guessing one year different.
I wasn't here last week, sweetie pie.
That's lovely banter between the contestants. That's fine. Let's move on to round two. Thank you very much. Keep it down at the back. Thank you, Kirby.
My contract said there was be more banter.
Yeah.
The banter comes in between the fifth round and the results.
This could actually be much quicker, this quiz, if people didn't keep
really
interrupting, couldn't it?
But, you know,
but where would we get the banter?
It suffers from the whole podcast thing, doesn't it?
I have a banter quota, and that sounds like something from Star Wars, a banter quota.
Isn't it a banter one of those big old things?
Yeah. I'm going to bed then.
Round two, the contestants, I need to get you to tell me how aged are they. The person this time is John Barrowman.
Ooh.
That's John Barrowman. He celebrated his birthday on the 11th of March. But how aged are they? And we start with Debbie.
I think I actually know this one. He's 55.
Maybe you should keep it to yourself if you think you actually know. Give us a number.
Oh, we got a new... The Debbie rule has just come into play.
Yes. I'm honoured. There's a Kirby rule and a Debbie rule. And Kirby will just hear it and think you're quoting my rule.
Giving the answer away deliberately adds 20 marks.
Well, she's already had 10 Kirby. Points added on, so we're all right there.
Kirby.
Yes?
How aged are they? John Barrow.
50.
Kirsty,
56.
And Adam,
53.
Whoa, I thought that Kirsty saying 56 is against the Kirby rule.
No,
yeah, but she, no, Kirsty isn't you, so that can possibly be the case.
Yeah.
It's only if it happens for all five rounds, Kirby, and at that point we eliminate the competition, literally, by asking Putin to send one of his drones to your house. Round three, the person we are talking about in round three, who's the celebrity we're talking about? It's Robert Glenister.
Oh.
Ooh. And Robert Glenister obviously played Saladin in The Caves of Androzoni. But the question we need to know is how aged are they? And we'll start time with Kirby. That's Kirby.
I assume they're still alive.
Yeah, the last time I saw him, he was
75.
Kirsty.
This one's tough. 63.
Adam.
Oh, hang on. I was trying to work it out.
Yeah. No cheating.
65.
And Debbie.
61.
Those are awfully close to my age, and I know I'm younger than him.
Oh, be quiet, Kirby.
Move on to round four as quick as a flash. And the... thank you. The in question here is Dion Inman. That's Dion Inman. And Dion celebrated her birthday on the 13th of March, and she does every year. But the question we want to know for Dion Inman, who played Elena in The Twin Dilemma, you're not astonished by all my facts that I'm digging up? I mean,
no.
You lot are the,
as she does every year.
So, Dion Inman, 13th of March is the birthday, but how all aged... Oh, God, I knew we got the program wrong. How aged are they, Kirsty?
So, which one was she now?
She was in The Twin Dilemma.
Yeah.
She played the character of Elena.
The other
information I've got for you is... Dion Inman played Elena in the Doctor Who story, The Twin Dilemma.
Oh, The Twin Dilemma.
Yeah, now you know.
She is 58.
Kirby.
75.
Okay. You seem to have some sort of thing about that. Yeah.
He likes them older.
If I have a look along your guesses, Kirby, they're really not the most imaginative. But hey, Debbie. Speak up, my love. We all need to hear your answer.
67.
Bugger.
Oh, I didn't mean to say a bloody 67, did I? And Adam.
I was going to say that. 69? Has anyone said that?
69.
Has someone said very funny, Debbie.
You can have 69.
Can I?
You and Dion Inman, 69. That's good. And the final round is, as always, round 5.
Yes.
Oh, we've got no...
What?
All right.
Got no what?
I thought we might have some sort of special sound effects.
How's that?
Okay. Round 5, the actor in question is Tobias Menzies.
Name rings a bell.
Oh, I like him. He's a brilliant actor.
His birthday is the 7th of March. But what year was he born and how aged are they? Adam Pearson.
Hang on, who did he play?
Yeah, where did he play?
I didn't give you that information. No. That must have been cut out in the edit. He was Lieutenant Stefanshin. Lieutenant Stefanshin from the episode, the Matt Smith episode, Cold War. The one with Clara in it.
Okay.
And Pytor and Wangin and Belvich.
Okay.
And Saldar.
I'm going to go for 45.
You're going for 45. Kirsty.
I will go with 42.
Woo! That's a Doctor Who story, isn't it?
Debbie.
That's also the answer.
48.
That's why I said it.
Was that 58, my love?
Was
that
58?
48.
Sorry, love, I couldn't hear you over all the excess noise in the studio.
And sorry, finally, we're laughing down the tables over here, love.
Kirby, how 50. Aged? 50. 40.
50.
50. Well, that concludes the first rounds of... How aged are they?
First round, that makes it sound better.
First round.
Hey. After this next segment, which I don't know what it is, but give me a couple of minutes to work out the score. We'll see you on the other side of this.
There we go. Oh, sorry. There we go. Right then. Well, the next segment is Doctor Who and Yours.
Now, we're already... Do you not want to do something about Fantasy Golf?
Yeah, thank you for that. I did ask you. That's part of Doctor Who News, essentially.
Exactly.
Fantasy Gone, okay, that's what we'll start with, Joey.
Can I just interrupt and say, Kirby, that's what a real reminder looks like?
Right, okay. Fantasy Gone.
What a real reminder sounds like.
Jeez. Fantasy Gone will be on the 5th of November. I've said it quietly because I don't want to upset Deb. 5th of November this year at Cow's Yacht Haven.
Really? Cool. Well,
what do you
done.
Mean, really? That sounded like you weren't impressed.
No. That used to be really hard to get. Wow. That wasn't impressed.
Oh.
Really?
Cow's Yacht Haven. So excellent. That's it, really. I have got guests already booked, but because I haven't got the ticket site set up yet and a few other minor details, that's all I can say. Clue about the guests, some of them are the same as the best we had booked for FantasyCon 2. But we're not going to call this event FantasyCon 2 because that evaporated in a cloud of COVID. So this is called FantasyCon 2022. Similar name, but... some of the same guests that we already had.
You can walk
very kindly made themselves available for our next gig, as it were. So, 5th of November. That's why I put a little trailer up on the FantasyCon page, which is remember the 5th of November, Gunpowder, Treason and Plot, and the plot bit was a little fuzzy representation of our logo. Things happening, and in conjunction or in association with Wessex Cancer Trust. So we're going to try and make a little bit of money for them.
So you both are going to walk there, I see.
Well, I guess I'll probably have a lot of kit to take down. I think it wouldn't be advisable carrying it from my house down there, especially if it rains. So no, Kirby.
It rains all the time.
We'll probably have a Gert van to carry lots of stuff down with. But it's exciting. It's
closer to you than the college. Wow.
No, it isn't, what? Actually. No,
I'm looking at a map.
I'm waving. Hello.
Not.
Kirby, I know you're trying to come across as informative, but it's just a little creepy.
Yeah.
Google Maps is creepy. All right, then. And back to other news. Doctor Who news.
Don't
is
Google my garden. It's a tip.
The Terence Dix Awards for Writers. Doctor Who Appreciation Society has announced a new award for writers in memory of the much-loved and highly influential writer Terence Dix, who passed away in 2019. Terence captured the imagination of a generation of children and young adults, many of whom are at the forefront of modern television. Blah-de-blah-de-blah. So there you go. That's all it is, because the other bit of news is Linda Barron. We spoke about her last week.
So what's this about a generation of children and young adults? I was more than a young adult when I ran across his writing.
We know. Right. whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Nah.
New, much of the stuff that was talked about last week, like London 1965 and Grey Mare and War Doctor Begins and Eighth Doctor Charlotte Pollard Further Adventures and topically Peladon, all stuff available now. Coming Soon has finally become available. We've got the Fourth Doctor 11.1 solo, a non-represented Torchwood story, which are not going to be talked about at all until John Barrowman's allowed to do them again. Lone Centurion. These are all available on pre-order from whowon.co.uk. And I can... I will mention this one Torchwood story because it's topical to Fantasy Con. I'm going to drop one in here. It features Kai Owens as Rhys. Kai Owens has agreed to come to FantasyCon, so that's a little secret. Don't tell anyone. He will be. I met him actually at Wales Comic Con. A very nice chap. Had my picture taken with him.
Keep it under my cap. Yeah, I'll keep it under my cap.
Yeah, don't tell anyone. No. Had not been officially announced yet, but he did say he'd come.
Well, you just did.
Shh. Yeah, it was only on the show. Nobody listens
don't
to this
tell
show.
Anyone, Kirby. Don't tell anyone.
No one listens to this show. Right then, so that's who won. Lavazzi. Lavazzi.co.uk are the prime suppliers of cosplay scarves for the Fourth Doctor. Now, I might mention that before. You can also get the 13th Doctor's scarf to go along with the T-shirt you can buy elsewhere. I'd love to know where you get the jacket. You see, a lot of cosplayers of the 13th Doctor who have almost costume-perfect cosplay, because you used to be able to get the 12th Doctor, no, actually it was the 10th, was it 11th? 11th Doctor's purple jacket cosplay. You could buy that from the BBC shops at certain exhibitions. It was beautiful, but it was about £250. I nearly got one once, but I was too fat, so I ended up not.
You nearly
it.
Got one when we went up to London.
Deb nearly let me buy it, but we couldn't find one that fit me. Surprise, surprise. One of the best things also, apart from being able to buy some amazing stuff like the D-Day Omaha Beach Map scarf, etc., etc., along with Doctor Who's Star Trek merchandise, is their Doctor Who blog and their newsletter, which is really, really cool. And newsletters and stuff from Lavazzi regularly give you percentages off their stuff. That's our sponsors, ladies and gentlemen, which hopefully gives us the time to return to Ben's a little bit.
We're calling it.
Poor Ben. I didn't realise you were just a... Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not your fault.
A little bit. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all Adam's allowed me to have. Welcome back to the second part of How Aged Are They? In the first part, the five contestants gave us their answers to the questions which we posed, which was how aged are they? Five Doctor Who actors, past and present. Let's have a look to see how they did. The first actor we talked about was Laura Rogers. Her birthday was the 10th of March, but when was she born? Well, let's have a look to see what everybody said. Adam said 41, Debbie said 44, Kirby said 50, and Kirsty said 46. Laura Rogers is... 43 Ooh. Years old, which means Adam gets 1 point. Adam gets 2 points. Oh. Debbie gets 1 point. Kirby gets 7 points, and Kirsty gets 3 points. Ooh!
Ooh.
He
The second round, the actor in question was John Barrowman. He was born on the 11th of March, 1967. That makes him 55, but what points do you get? Adam said 53, so he gets 2 points. Kirby said 50, so he gets 5 points. Kirsty said 56, so he gets 6 points. Debbie is an exact answer. It's 55. It's
hang on, I've got a boo of her. Hang on, here we go.
How come Kirsty gets 6 points?
Oh, run away.
She Debbie. Was one away.
Debbie.
Oh, God, sorry, yeah. I've misread my own thinking. So, yeah, that's... sorry, Kirsty. All things corrected.
Adam, were you saying my name?
Yeah, I was just saying, keep your gob shut. Yeah, we're going.
Round three was Robert Glenister. 11th of March was his birthday. Adam thought he was 65. Debbie thought he was 61. Kirby said 75. And Kirsty said 63. Robert Glenister is actually 62 years Ooh. Old. So Kirby gets 13 points.
They're mm-hmm. quite craggy gentlemen, the Glenisters. They always look older than they are.
Adam gets 3 points. Yeah, Kirsty gets just the 1 point. And Kirby, 13 points.
Oh.
Ready? You got one. The fourth person was Dionne Inman. Dionne Inman was born on the 13th of March. But how old is she? Adam said 69. Debbie said 67. Kirby said 75. He's not on her Christmas card list anymore. And Kirsty said 58. Dionne Inman is 65. 5 years old, which means Adams gets 4 points. Debbie gets 2 points. Woo. Kirby gets 10 points. And Kirsty gets some points as well.
I feel like I've been singled out.
58 to 65 is 8 points.
Are you implying I didn't give you enough time to work it out?
Plus nine. Right. And finally, Tobias Menzies was born on the 7th of March. But how old is he? Well, Adam said he was 45. Debbie said 48. Kirby said 50. And Kirsty said 42. Tobias Menzies was born in 1974, making him 48 years of age. But Adam gets 3 points. Debbie gets an exact answer. Two exact answers in one game. All the way from both.
I think somebody was bluffing at the beginning of this this here quiz show.
I think there's going to be a new Debbie rule imposed next week.
Yeah. No, looking at Wikipedia, that rule.
It's almost a little bit like
IMDb. Open something. I lose Skype. No one's allowed to have internet in this house since I'm recording this.
It's a little bit like the Lillian rule from last week.
What, she's not allowed to wear any stockings on the show?
No, where somebody kept on posting the answer afterwards. Yes. So we'll anyway. So
She wasn't actually in the contest. So
no, but she was posting the answers on the live feed, Kirby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this week's final scores look and sound like this. And we need to say congratulations, for we have two record scores this evening.
Ooh.
A record high score and the record low score. And don't forget, it's the low scores you need.
Yeah, but she had 10 points added on for being cheeky before we started, though, Ben. You have to remember that.
I've completely forgotten that we come up with a new quiz. I wasn't on last week. I'm sorry.
No, you weren't. Kirsty, you finished the game today with 19 points. Ooh.
Oh, hang on. I suppose it's a...
Adam.
Yeah.
You, sir, have scored 14 points.
Ooh. Thank you.
So then it comes down to our record scorers. Now, the tension, it's not really Will Young versus Gareth Gates. One of them's got the highest score ever scored. One of them has the lowest score ever scored. Kirby, You're going home with 37 points. You are today's winner with a fantastic score of 4 points.
It's an honour.
Someone's picked it. No, Debbie, that's fantastic. So we'll just have a very quick look at the overall league table as to how it stands after round two of How Aged Are They? Top of the table with an average of an incredible... No, hold on. Yeah, 2 out of 4 is Debbie.
Ooh. Oh, sorry, hang on, sorry.
Party pads about ages as well. My God.
But Debbie must have played in the Charity Shield from last year because she's only played one game. At some point might catch up. Second in the table at the moment with a score, an average score of 13, is Adam Pearson.
Thank you.
Sorry, I said Adam Pearson, the girls who were screaming there. Just in third place with an average score after one game of 19, it's R. Kirsty.
Yay!
In fourth place, but only one game played so far as well. And it seemed like a good score last week where Mary got 22, but now she's down second bottom of the table. It's Mary.
Yay.
Sorry, the sound effect wouldn't play.
The barrel with a combined total across just two shows of 60 points. So an average of 30, which is probably about half of the average age of someone who listens to this podcast, it's Kirby Butler-Sloan.
Yay!
Record holder.
Maybe I can continue that.
Well, next week I suggest you try.
Oh, wow.
Thank you very much for watching the new sensational game show, How Aged Are They? We'll see you back here next time we record, which might be next week or whenever you listen to the next podcast, I suppose. Then, hey, thanks for listening. And now back to the rest of the drop.
Oh, bumholes! I accidentally cut the theme tune off. Oh, well. Anyway.
No, not Channel 4 either. I'm not going to Channel 4. No.
Okay.
Well, if the beep come knock... Sorry, I've just got my agent on the other line, Adam. If yeah. I know it's good.
Sounds like that chap with the microphone that cuts in and out. What was that? Collier, wasn't it? Norman Collier. Or was it Kirby Bartlett Sloan? I can't remember all of the other. Anyway, right, so now we move on to what
that,
we...
Like, I mean, God, what? That takes ages, but, you know, it's good. It's good. I mean...
He's gone again.
Well,
or somebody ought to tell him his microphone's cutting in and out, or someone's on his internet and using up all his bandwidth.
Or he's some sort of joke with us.
Yeah, he's absolutely fine and you're playing a joke with him.
No, anyway. No, I don't do stuff like that. We're now on to what we watched this week. Now, let's see if I can remember. I haven't watched episode 2 of Picard yet, so I tend to watch that over the next couple of days. We've had a few issues of Disney+. I think that Alicia isn't paying the subscription anymore. So I did always promise the family if that happened, I would have it because Disney Plus is the best.
Disney Plus is off.
We watched a film at the cinema on Friday called The Phantom of the Open, featuring a chap called Mark Rylance.
Brilliant. He's one of my favourite actors. Rylance.
It is a superb film. I did enjoy The Duke. This is better. This is a better film than The Duke. Very light-hearted, good story. It's a true story. It's sort of turned into slightly fantastical sort of, you know, imaginatory sort of sequences, but it is such a good tale, very well brought to the screen and very well acted by all and sundry. I would recommend going to watch it. And you can always tell a film that is quite good is because Deb stays awake during it. And the same thing happened the next day when we went to watch a film called Uncharted with a chap called Tom Holland. I don't know if he's been in a couple of films. Another chap who happens to be a relationship. What?
Is he Dutch?
He might be. Another chap.
I don't think I can ever listen to that name again.
Another chap who happens to be related to me called Mark Wahlberg.
We should do the Who is Adam related to this week game.
Yes, good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you don't have to do that.
From Adam.
You don't have to do that because I can tell you. It's quite easy. Anyway, but that's quite a good movie.
The true and honest answer is effing miles away.
We watched a
film. Ow.
Oh, there's
so
some
hard.
Films to watch I intend to watch.
My side.
There's something about a red panda on Disney Plus, which you couldn't watch, obviously,
It's Turning Red.
Yes, I'd like to see that film. And there's a couple of decent films that have rocked up on Netflix quite recently. But there's also some good stuff coming up. Stranger Things have actually got almost like a date to actually start playing, along with the Umbrella Academy. Yes. So I'm looking forward to those. And we're currently watching a series on Prime called Upload. So it's series 2 of Upload. We enjoyed series 1. Series 2 is on. So that's quite good fun as well. And it's only half an hour episode. So that's what I've been watching this week. Ben, have you been watching anything?
Well, yes, of course I have. I've been watching the television. That's why I bought one.
God. Terry Miles says Phantom of the Open is brilliant.
Not an awful lot this week. Just quite a lot of cricket again. I'm currently watching the England Test match. I've been watching a lot of eBay because I hate eBay, by the way. eBay are a bunch of scoundrels, money-grabbing scoundrels.
And so are PayPal.
Well, they're not allowed to work together anymore, are they, because of the monopolies and mergers? Something to do with that. But anyway, I hate PayPal. But I did buy myself a lovely brand-new mixing desk this afternoon off PayPal. Off PayPal, off eBay. So next week, everything should sound a little bit different. Oh, that was the reference to the cricket I made about 4.5 minutes ago. That's also my best mate's ringtone.
I do like the comedy pause you put in while you're working out on that. Yeah, anyway, is that it?
I don't think I've watched anything of any significance that isn't sport this week, actually.
I watched a bit of golf. I have been enjoying the Players Championship, which was on earlier part of the week.
I didn't watch the Formula One earlier because I'm still upset with that from last season. But
Hamilton's just thrown thrown his blimmin' stuff out the pram, and he's basically, I'm not going to win anything this year because I've got a rubbish car.
Well, yeah, I don't know what even happened today, but the end of last season was just.
Well, I won't comment about what happened today then.
It's all right, I won't watch it. I'm not bothered.
Well, Saints got knocked out of the FA Cup, and that's all I'm saying about the matter.
Yes, but did you expect to win it, really?
No. As I was trying to explain to all the Hasenhüttl lovers that we had no chance of winning that match, and I, for once, was proven correct. Right then, who's next?
Talked about before, Adam.
What?
You're a mid-table team. You win one, lose one, you draw one.
I like I want to point out...
That is that like snog, marry, and avoid?
No, I want to say...
Some big teams, you'd lose
I agree.
Some teams.
All I'm saying is, I like Hasenhüttl.
Why do you always moan when you lose
moaning. Let me speak.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of match today. We will catch you all. We'll finish the conversation.
Allow me to speak.
You've got to go around the outside, you see. If you go around the outside, then there's no way that they can cut the ball back in the box.
Can I speak, please? All I'm saying is I like Hasenhüttl, but I'd like to be able to criticise him, but no one lets me.
You can criticise him, but you've got to bear in mind where you are.
We've been in that position for a long time. Anyway, right there. Debbie, what have you watched this week?
Well, apart from the Grand Prix, I've watched some rugby.
I've watched Turning Red a couple of times on Disney Plus because Isla absolutely adores it, and it speaks to her age group and everything, and I think all the controversy around it is absolutely stupid, to be honest.
Yes.
Yeah. And also we've been watching a series on Prime about sailing vessels, which has been really good. It's one of Tom's big things. He loves boats and things, obviously. And so we've been watching this really fascinating series about stealth ships through the ages, warships through the ages, that sort of thing. But it's been utterly fascinating. Yeah. It's stuff we've seen before, but brought to you differently, and that's been really good. And then, obviously, I've been watching an awful lot of BBC News 24, obviously, about the ongoing crisis in Ukraine, and
what's happening in Ukraine? Anything? I hadn't seen.
Not commenting. And
I mean, you need to fill me in on the news. I don't get to watch it all the time.
We wouldn't do this, so please don't. I'm really emotionally and family involved. Please don't. Okay. And also what I have been watching a lot of, because I'm now home educating Isla, we're finding lots and lots of things on YouTube. So I'm back on the old tube, which I haven't been for a long time.
Have you completed it yet?
Oh, yeah, about twice over in the past. But, yeah, now we're looking specifically for things about cells and regeneration of cells. So I've been able to use Doctor Who in a few lessons as well. Yeah. So, you know, not that I'm biased.
Why not?
But that's what we've been doing. I've been listening to a lot of radio, a lot of classical music and things as well.
Did you watch any of the programmes I recommended? The ones with Professor Alice, whatchamacallit? Watch any of those? The other one, you know, with the relics one.
Yeah, we thought up with those a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah, the relics one. And there's a new series out with Professor Alice Robertson as well, which only had one or two episodes. So also very watchable. I think on Sky History or something like that. Kirsty.
She's brilliant. Yeah, she's alternate me.
Oh, is she now?
Very. That's what Tom likes.
She's saying she's quite sassy. Kirsty. Talking about sassy, Kirsty.
All right. I've been doing a lot of schlocky TV watching. Last week, Netflix got another helping of DC's Legends of Tomorrow. If anyone watches that?
Oh, yeah.
I devoured all of those episodes in like 14 or 15, I think, like that. Pretty good, actually. Started a new series.
Yes,
it's called...
They have Rory in them.
Yes. He did show up for a couple. Recently picked up watching a show. It's called Good Girls.
Deb watches that.
I think it's brilliant. I thought it looks like an interesting premise, and I'm like 10, 20 episodes into it now. So, and the other thing I watched on Friday was the new Netflix movie, The Adam Project, which is brilliant. It's kind of like... I mean, it's almost a family movie, except there's some questionable stuff in there. But it's kind of a family movie for adults. It's the kind of movie that you would have written in your head when you were...
Swedish?
Listen to me. Listen. Listen to my voice. No, it's what a kid...
Which one?
It's the movie... Cheeky bitch.
Oh, I know.
But it's... The general premise is this guy travels back in time and meets up with his young, very much younger self, a 10-year-old version of him.
This is the Adam Project.
It's the fantasy that any 10-year-old kid would have of, like, their future self coming to, like, save them from bullies and stuff.
Is this the Adam Project you're talking about? The one
I
with
Ryan Project at least twice.
The Ryan Reynolds film. Yeah, no, sorry.
Fiction fantasy.
I know, because I talked. Sure,
oh, it's a science fiction fantasy film.
Excuse me, I talked about that last week, didn't I?
Yes, well,
that's fine. I like the fact you're agreeing with me, Kirsty.
Oh, okay.
Well, it didn't sound like it.
Oh, be quiet, you. That's it. Where's my do-do button?
That is really, really good. I did tell my wife, I'm like, I'll watch that again. And I just finished up watching a complete rewatch of Futurama. And according to my email at 4:30, they just dropped a trailer for Strange New World.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Right. I just thank you.
Yeah, because Ensign Mount is. Yeah.
What?
Right there.
What?
Yes.
The guy playing Pike.
No idea what you're on about, but great.
God knows.
Yeah. Right then, well, thank you very much.
Like from Dad's Army.
From Dad's Army.
No, what?
What you? What is your name? Don't tell him, Pike.
Don't tell him, Pike.
I just wanted to mention it.
I'm really looking forward to that. The trailer's dropped. It's so cool. Tom's really looking forward to it as well.
I just wanted to mention that obviously we.
And Picard. I've been watching Picard. Meant to say that as well.
Good. It's only been one episode.
Inside the Family. Inside the Family.
Inside the Family. How did you do that?
No, I got the last wrong word. The last word slightly wrong there. It's Inside the Factory.
Oh, Factory, yes.
Oh, I love that.
With Greg Wallace, who gets excited about everything.
I've seen a bit of one of those episodes.
He's terrifyingly awful with his jokes as well.
Anyway.
The one where they do the Doc Martin boots, it's like, oh, he doesn't shut up.
Anyway. When there was a reference to Ukraine, I just wanted to point out, I put a TikTok out there. It's just quite, I was just having a dig at a certain Russian leader.
It's open season on him, to be perfectly honest.
To be coy, Adam, there aren't that many of them invading other countries at the moment.
I'm just saying, I had a dig. Allow me, please. I had a dig at him, and it wasn't a horrible thing,
but I think it was.
Well, no, they took it down and said take them for hate speech. And then they put it back on again, removed the audio, but I'd already put the subtitles on, so you can just read what I'm saying anyway.
Wow, TikTok, the fools. Really whipped on, aren't they?
So, yeah, I left that on without my voice. Probably just as nice with the subtitles on it, and I say exactly the same thing, so I edited the subtitles to match what I was saying, because TikTok can't seem to do that. Right then, Kirby, what have you been watching this week?
Very little, because I've been working like crazy. So I've been mostly in the evenings, I just watch random YouTube. However, I have watched...
Have you finished it yet?
Yes, years ago. I have watched this little film called Turning Red three more times, or is it four more times?
It's brilliant, isn't it?
managed to watch it with the Geek Daughter Friday. And she liked it. All three daughters liked it. Two of them were close to the right age when it was happening. So
hang on, Kirby.
Yes.
I was just listening to what you're saying. Have you got a geek daughter called Friday? You said the geek daughter Friday.
I watched it on Friday.
That was interesting because obviously there's a character from Robinson Crusoe called Friday. I thought there might have been some sort of link there. Carry on.
That
that you think Kirby is in Robinson Crusoe.
Fridays are nights to watch stuff.
Yes, they are indeed. We go to the cinema.
We have to do it remotely.
Oh.
Right now, but we want to watch Picard, but my Plex server, she can't see it for some reason. So, and she doesn't have Paramount Plus.
Nor do I. No, I haven't got
that. So we're trying to figure out what to do. We're thinking of a Discord.
Oh, God, Kirby, what kind of father are you?
What to do?
We're thinking of using Discord to do it if I can't fix the Plex server.
Hope these platforms you're talking about are not illegal ones, Kirby.
How you can share stuff with people,
I know that, but
family.
We on this progress do not advocate a certain means of watching. Deb says the layers being noisy again.
Right. Because piracy is killing films and killing music. But saying that, if anyone knows of a decent website where I can go and get some hooky films that are in the cinema, they don't have to pay for, that'd be lovely.
Yes. Apparently, your cat's being noisy. I can't hear her though.
I was talking to
him. Every time Adam talks, it's me.
Good. Cat with taste. Right then. I'll tell you what's coming. Sorry, have you finished, Kirby?
Yeah.
Right then. There's some stuff coming up we're really looking forward to watching over the next couple of weeks. It's a film called Morbius, featuring some chap, Matt Smythe, Smooth, or something like that.
Morbius?
He was in Doctor Who.
Does he have a brain?
Who, Matt Smooth?
No, Morbius.
Well, I thought that. I just thought there was a weird sort of synchronicity about that particular feature. What?
That's an episode of Doctor Who, isn't it?
No, that's
Kirby?
The brain of Morbius. Yes. This is just Morbius before he lost his brain.
Ah, oh, I've caught up now.
So we're looking forward to seeing that. There's a film. What the hell? There's another film called The Nan Movie featuring somebody called Catherine Plate. Apparently she was in Doctor Who too.
Is that like a reboot of Doctor Who?
I love the fact she's been doing all her interviews in character. That's just
Yeah, that's typical of her. There's also, according to Isabella, a film called Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Apparently Sonic the Hedgehog 1, it was very good, and she reckons this is going to be very good as well. But I haven't seen Sonic the Hedgehog 1, so I doubt I'll watch that one. And most excitingly of all, on the Friday the 8th of April, a film called Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore comes out.
Yeah.
Thoroughly looking forward to that one.
Never
then
thought I'd have
boom.
A crush on Dumbledore, but there you go.
Beg your pardon? A crush on Dumbledore?
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to see it, because the second movie sucked.
Yeah, one very good was it, the second one.
I couldn't watch the second movie. I'd
watch it again.
I got tired of the first movie.
Oh, it stands another watch, definitely.
There were aspects of it that I liked.
We loved the first movie. My wife won't even let me buy the second movie.
The second movie
is Dumbledore. Watch it a couple of times. Sorry, I hit my microphone. If you watch it a couple of times, it really does grow on you.
Yeah, I'd watch it again. I like certain aspects. I like the Nagini thing, and I like the new Dumbledore, and I love the fact that Johnny Depp's in it.
I love the new Dumbledore. He's amazing.
Yeah, so,
Easy.
The stuff coming up as well, Kirby.
Dumbledore, yeah.
Coming soon. We saw the trailer for Jurassic World Dominion. It looks amazing, and I haven't really been interested in Jurassic Park films. I like the first one. Haven't been that keen on any others since there, but I'm really interested in this one. The trailer was great. It's bringing back all the old cast from the first film, apart from the ones that are dead, obviously.
What, are they all going to be in wheelchairs?
No, Kirby. Watch the trailer.
that was probably filmed down the road from me, because the last couple of Jurassic Park films have been filmed a couple of miles away.
Well,
parts of them have anyway.
There's a film called Lightyear, about Buzz Lightyear. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. I see that.
I'm really looking forward to
seeing
that. And
the new Puss in Boots looks fun.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. That's about it, really. That's coming up in the short term. That I would actually think I must go and watch that. There will obviously be things where I think, well, I've got an unlimited ticket. I need to go to the cinema to actually get the most of this ticket and go just to watch any old thing. But at the moment, there's some good stuff coming out, which I'm quite pleased about. You know, so that's basically it. Next
many
week.
Many years ago, Adam, just a little story before we finish, just to give you a little anecdote.
I sit back in my chair and listen with a certain degree of trepidation.
Of my life and, you know, where it went.
I'm going to work on my nap. I'm sorry.
When I started out in radio back
Hang on,
in
hang on, Ben, 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 hang on. Yes, I've got the music for that bit.
That's the wrong music for
radio?
Story.
Really?
Yeah, you and Thursdays. When I started out, I used to work for a local hospital radio station. The name of it was Radio Frimley Park. And every week, Radio Frimley Park got a free ticket to the local cinema. I was given the job of being the cinema reviewer. And so I got to go to the cinema every single week for a couple of years for free. There was a time when the old cinemas only had three or two screens, so didn't show too many films, and there weren't that many good films in the 80s. And there was one week where the film, the Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze, rest in peace, film Ghost was on, and not a lot else was on, and I'd seen the other films, and I went to see Ghost for 5 weeks in a row, and I sat through it for four of them. And the fifth one, I lasted about halfway, and I can't do it anymore. And so if there's nothing good on, Adam, don't go.
Okay.
Yeah, don't. That's a big lesson, don't.
Okay, well, thank you for the advice, but I probably will anyway.
Oh,
we like the cinema.
I'm so
Earth an awful film? No.
Ghost?
No, I'm not going to watch
it. Fantastic.
Oh,
film,
Ghost
Debbie.
Is great. Yeah, Ghost I love Ghost. I love
it's
Ghost.
It's soppy.
Don't care. I love Ghost.
The only good bit is the bit when those weird things try and drag everybody to hell and things. I like that. That's good and scary.
It's very dark of you, Debbie, but I do love Ghost.
I've got a little bit of trivia about those dark things.
Go on then.
Have you ever heard of a special effects guy named Mike Jitlov?
I have, actually.
Well, he did the special effects for that. That was one of the very few things outside of his short films, and also the he had the longer version of The Wizard of Speed and Time.
Yes, yeah.
Did not get a lot of release.
I love The Wizard of Speed and Time.
You're right.
I've heard of that, too.
I love The Wizard of Speed and Time. I love all of his short films, but he did special effects on Ghost as well.
Okay.
Well, I love Ghost. I just want to point out. I was really looking forward to the sequel of Ghost, but that didn't seem to ever happen.
My husband does the rom-coms and romantic movies. I do all the weird shit.
If you've never
you swear
seen
on my podcast, then that.
If you've never seen The Wizard of Speed and Time, go out there and find it.
Right.
I know. I've been trying to find it on DVD.
Right.
You can just. Jitlov allows free download.
Okay, cool.
Splendid, right. So next time we'll be looking at a film, an episode called Turn Left.
We're changing the format again. Everyone, we're changing the format. We're doing films from now on.
We're doing Turn Left. Which is a feature from Doctor Who. Funny enough, this is a Doctor
Who podcast.
Yes, it's
in my favourite series of Doctor Who.
We've mentioned that a few times as well, Kirby. So that will be next week. But, Kirby, remember, because I know you have a bit of an issue with this particular feature, the clocks go forward here in the United Kingdom on that same day. So overnight, before we record the show, the clocks would have gone forward by 1 hour. Everybody in the UK will understand this because they'll be on that particular time frame. I'm a bit worried, a bit concerned about how you lot are going to cope with that.
I'll be all right.
Not you. You're not in the United States, you silly lady.
It'll just be a bit lighter. That's all it'll be.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, today was the day. It's the spring solstice when we have a 12-hour sun, a day of darkness and a 12-hour day
it's
of lightness.
It's
the
equinox, my dear.
What?
It's an equinox. A solstice is when it's shortest day, longest night.
I meant equinox, you pedantic person.
Well, I'm born on the one, really, so I'm allowed to be pedantic.
It's not really being pedantic, Adam. It's being factual.
And pedantic. That's what pedantic is, factual.
Well, not really. Not when you said entirely the wrong word.
Look.
I mean, it wasn't even close.
I do cherish. The reason why she gets away with it is because I do cherish the long, long disappeared Smarty Pants Debbie moments. And that's just something that actually comes into play on that particular issue. Right then. So that's next week. Turn left. Until then, thank you for listening.
I'll turn left, sure. Oh, no problem.
I'll turn left. I banged into my cat. She's not looking
at you. I'll turn left and walk straight into the fire or the television or whatever.
I'm on a swivel chair. I just spun around.
I haven't paid attention to anything for the last 2 hours. I've been watching the cricket.
Thank you for listening, watching, taking part in the show. And please continue to do so. Goodbye.
Bye, Fancy Pants.
It's a...
What on earth was that?
I don't know. I think someone painted it.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.